If the lack of contracts means there's little accountability for homeless housing conditions and costs, it also means that communities are left in the dark. From member station WNYC, Amy Eddings has that part of the story.
For several weeks, there was a banner that hung outside this new six-story building in Brooklyn's Fort Greene neighborhood. The banner trumpeted the arrival of luxury condominiums. So Peter Mark, who lives several doors up the street, was surprised at what it actually became.
The way that we found out about it was a woman down the street saw mattresses being carried in. That seemed an odd thing to carry into a brand new 12 luxury condo unit building. And so she asked, and apparently whoever the workman was knew more about what was going on than anyone that lived near the building. So he said it's going to be a shelter.
The Clermont Family Residence now provides emergency housing for 24 homeless families, each placed there by the city at a cost of nearly $3,000 a month. That's roughly three times the market rate for a one-bedroom apartment in this neighborhood. Okay. About a mile away, in another Brooklyn neighborhood, Prospect Heights, Patty Hagen stands before what used to be a mattress factory.
We saw work going on here starting last spring, and both this building and 603 Dean Street on the other side, when people would ask, they would say, oh, it's going to be a school, it's going to be artist lofts.
Instead, it became a hotel for 90 homeless families last summer over the last-minute objections of surprised local officials and residents.
I mean, this is just such a sneaky maneuver.
But the city is not required to notify communities about these arrangements because these hotels are privately owned and they do business with the city without any contracts. It's as if the owner of a Holiday Inn decided to rent rooms exclusively to the city's homeless people. No public input is required for such an arrangement. Fort Greene resident Peter Mark.
That's the loophole that this whole system is based on. The fact that these properties are privately owned. So if it's a government-owned thing, then you have to go through all this process. Obviously, a lot of people like to cut corners on those things in order to get things done.
So I would like to start with an apology to you personally, because in the one instance when we did fail
at a city council hearing last September, Homeless Services Commissioner Linda Gibbs apologized several times to angry council members about hotels that opened in their neighborhoods. She said local officials are told at least 72 hours in advance. But City Councilman John Sanders says that was not his experience when a 350-room Best Western in his district turned into a homeless hotel.
I received not one sentence from any office. We had to actively get out there and get this. The only information I received was from very disgruntled constituents, and I had to play catch-up.
I only want to repeat that I will continue to work on this issue. I don't think it's...
Every city handles its homeless population differently. A few operate their own shelters. Most hire nonprofit groups to run them. In many cities, homeless people are put on waiting lists if there's no place to house them. Last year, the United States Conference of Mayors found that in a survey of 25 cities, more than half reported that their emergency shelters turn away people when they don't have any room. New York City can't do that because of the decades-old court order requiring the city to provide shelter on demand to homeless people on the day they request it. This court order has bedeviled homeless officials. In the past, they've said it has prevented them from entering into contracts with housing providers because the emergency need is too great and the contracting process takes too long. Bob Bailey provides legal counsel to the city's Human Resources Administration, which provides housing for homeless people with AIDS. Speaking with Andrea Bernstein, he articulated this long-held city position.
The demand for emergency housing is something that fluctuates somewhat unpredictably from month to month. We need the flexibility to get housing quickly. We also need the flexibility to decommission somebody who's not providing medically appropriate housing quickly without him being able to sue us because he doesn't think we had cause to decommission him.
There are lots of needs that fluctuate in the city, and the city has ways of dealing it. You know, salt to clean up for snowstorms. I mean, you don't know if it's going to snow 1 inch or 3 feet in any winter. I mean, the city has lots of things that it procures that it doesn't know what the need is going to be, and those are contracted. So there is a model for doing it.
I don't have anything to add.
Now, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has something to add. With yet another city controller saying the city was breaking the law, the mayor did an about-face.
We reached the conclusion that it is time to regularize our relationship with these providers and bring order, transparency, and accountability to a system that for too long has been defined by crisis.
With the homeless commissioner at his side, Mayor Bloomberg announced that the city would start entering into formal contracts for most of its homeless hotels. The city will tweak the contracting process to meet its unique homeless housing mandate. Homeless advocates praise the arrangement. For 20 years, New York City has spent millions of dollars placing the homeless in often squalid hotel rooms with no public input or financial oversight. It now is officially conceding that it's not the right way to operate. For NPR News, I'm Amy Eddings in New York.